ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
And welcome in on a Sunday morning in the great city of Chicago. I'm Brian Hanley, Mark Zander right alongside me, and we are here until noon talking sports with you. 312-332-3776 is the number. Mark, how are you doing this morning?
I'm all good, Brian. How about you?
Well, I'm better because now the All-Star weekend Saturday night festivities are my rearview mirror. Still trying to digest what I watched last night.
That was weird.
Wow. It was different. I saw our buddy Fred Huebner tweeted out that the good thing about retirement is you're not compelled to watch said festivities. I used to enjoy
I think you used a stronger word than compelled.
Well, I'm on the radio.
Right.
Mr. Zander, yeah. I'm trying to be diplomatic about it. Boy, but here's the only good thing about it. If you're on Twitter, you enjoy watching those things much more than you would if you're just watching it without your social media.
Right, because you could say things, you could express.
You can share the misery. You can enjoy the fun, the jokes, the Twitter, the the pictures. Someone said, "Well, Obi Toppin won the dunk contest because somebody had to." Zach LaVine, I think, just missed another three. But more maybe concerning was that he looked like when he went to pick up the first ball on the rack, it looked like he had a little hitch in his giddy-up with the knee. So we'll be talking about Zach's return to the Bulls and how they're going to manage the knee injury after he had it drained. He had a cortisone shot, and he had the platelet-rich plasma. Where they take the plasma out of your body, they spin it, and then they re-inject it into the injured joint, and it's supposed to accelerate the healing. I could have it. I have like chronic tennis elbow, right? So in both elbows, and they've suggested to do that. Insurance doesn't cover it, I believe, to this point. But I actually did it for one of my dogs a few years ago. Arthritis in both shoulders, and I didn't hesitate to write the check for my dog. But I'm thinking, do I really need that? I don't know. but there you go. Billy Donovan's talking about giving Zach LaVine the second game off in back-to-backs, and they have four more sets of those back-to-back games from now until the playoffs, and also giving him some needed breaks because. He said it's not going to be the knee's not going to be 100% till the off season. I don't know if that means further surgery or what. He said basically this is just to give him some pain management, but he wants to be out there as much as he can. You have any concerns that we're not going to see a Zach LaVine that's going to be 100%, and what does that mean for the Bulls' playoff possibilities?
I do. The smart bet is to rest him. I don't think he's going to be totally healthy, and it does sound like a code for off season surgery, doesn't it?
Going into the final year of his contract too, right? So you have that whole thing, it doesn't seem like it's a serious injury, but it is the same knee he had the ACL on. And so if you're Bulls brass moving forward, how do you handle max money and all that moving forward? And you've seen what DeMar DeRozan's done while Zach has been out. It's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
averaging 38.7 points a game and seven game streak where he's had at least 35 points and 50% shooting. I mean, you talk about a guy who's playing MVP type basketball.
He's playing out of his mind, out of
unbelievable.
His absolute mind. And thankfully for that.
Thankfully.
Because you remember, coming into this season, people were questioning that move. Nobody's doing that now.
They were maybe not questioning, but just weren't like head over heels thinking this was the missing piece. But here they are.
Yeah.
Here they are. They're still sitting atop the Eastern Conference with all these injuries. And, Lonzo Ball out, and you have Alex Caruso out, and Patrick Williams may or may not join the team before the season's over. The good news is Caruso looks like he's coming back within a week or so with the wrist injury. We'll see. But yeah, DeMar
DeRozan, that's a surprise. That's a quick rebound. That's quicker than I think a lot of people thought, right? Or I don't know what kind of doctors they have.
medical doctors, I believe. 312-332-3776.
Not veterinarians, not horse doctors.
No, I believe they're not like doctor of philosophy. No.
They're super doctors to get him back on the court that quick. But yes, we need him. And now with Levine, you know, going down, and I like your Twitter poll, and I believe you're just about to get into that.
Yeah, if you could only get one player back, and you had to have, you only got one of the injured players back, and we're going to give you Zach LaVine's back. Okay, he's not in this mix.
Okay.
So is it Ball, Caruso, or Patrick Williams? And we don't know what you're going to get from Patrick Williams yet. Do you need the big? Even though Tristan Thompson became official last night, and everyone knew he was coming, and Zach said he had been on the phone with him. But they officially signed him last night. And so here comes your 6'9", 254 body. I mean, think about this guy. Fourth overall pick back in 2011. Career really hasn't, his fourth overall picks go, 9.1 points, 8.5 rebounds over the course of 11 seasons. Not exactly panned out, which is why he's moved around the league a bit. But because you weren't going to break up the team at trade deadline time and make a big move, here's a move, right? I mean, you're able to pick him up, and he should be excited to join this group. And is that going to be – it's an adding a piece to the puzzle. Is it enough, Bulls fans? 312-332-3776. As you look at this team today, as we sit here on All-Star Sunday, where's your faith that the Bulls can make a really good run in the playoffs? And, Zach LaVine said it. He said, by adding Tristan Thompson, the Bulls brass are going for it. Okay, I mean, that could just be, team speak or hopeful Zach LaVine. But that's the move, right? So now do you believe they have enough? If they get healthy, do they have enough to make a run deep into the playoffs, or are they ahead of schedule? 312-332-3776. I mean, they've been a great team to watch. They've been a fun team to watch. They've been, a likable team, everything. I mean, the doldrums of watching Bulls basketball from the last 4 or 5 years.
those are gone. They're in the rearview mirror finally.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's a great story. It's a fun story. It's an enjoyable team. But is it enough? And is there a super team out there that you fear? 312-332-3776.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Brian, I think that they played it right. We've got to see how Thompson's going to turn out, but maybe Donovan can get something out of him that we really haven't seen. But they didn't break up the team. You know, they didn't make any big moves that was going to compromise the future. So I think they played it right, whether or not that's going to get them deep. That's the question. And your Twitter poll is, I think it's really important to get one of those players back. And for me, I've got to say Lonzo Ball would be the guy to get back. But it's hard because, you want Caruso and that defensive approach that he adds to the team. So I think they played it right. They got Tristan Thompson. We just have to hope that he can give us at least what he's given other teams, at the very least, if not more, and hopefully Donovan can get more out of him.
Yeah, so Lonzo Ball is the guy who's going to make the offense run and fire on all cylinders. Alex Caruso is the guy who brings the defensive mindset, the steals, everything that this team still lacks on occasion. And Patrick Williams will be a bonus big that you maybe didn't count on showing up, but Billy Donovan opened the door a week or so ago saying that they petitioned the league to get the injury waiver to add a roster spot. It'd be saying basically claiming to the league that he was not going to be ready this year. And the league said, no, try again. Our doctors don't agree with that. So now does he show up on the eve of the playoffs or before, a couple weeks before the playoffs? I think right now it would be a bonus to get anything out of Patrick Williams. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt. We did not think we were going to see him this year. And it's interesting that they're going back and forth on this because it seemed like we were going to see him, but I know the Bulls want to be very careful with him, which obviously that's the play, right?
Well, it's the play, but it's all hands on deck, too, if in fact they're going for it. Again, right. Are they at a schedule? I think when you're the front office, you have to look big picture and immediate picture, right? Small picture and in the now. And at the trade deadline, they basically told you they weren't going to do anything crazy, or they weren't rolling dice on any big move to win something this year. Doesn't mean that they can't, right? Because do the Bucks do the Bucks scare you right now? The Miami Heat? I mean, which team, if I'd love to hear from Bulls fans, which team are you keeping your eye on to think that if you think this holding down the top spot in the Eastern Conference is a little bit fragile, which team or teams are you concerned about? 312-332-3776. You know, I know up in Milwaukee, they, when their big three are healthy, they have an unbelievable record, and yet they haven't had a huge stretch of time where all three of them been on the floor at the same time. So
does that continue on? Right. And the Bulls have done a decent job with all the injuries that they've suffered this year. So having a few of them back, it's going to make a difference. Mike in Hoffman Estates wants to jump in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think it's pretty clear that Alex Caruso is kind of a big piece missing. I know when the injuries kind of started piling up originally, I really saw the Bulls struggle on defense, and it kind of just felt like they were missing a guy. Now, with DeMar DeRozan stepping up, you haven't really seen those problems. But I think with Io and Kobe White stepping up, I think it's going to be difficult to see what is Lonzo Ball's role now, because Io proves he's a starter. Kobe White shows that he's kind of that sixth man, that sub-in shooting guard that can put up points when he's hot. And Patrick Williams really hasn't proven anything. I know you guys touched on that, but, like, we don't know where Patrick Williams fits in this system. I don't know where Lonzo Ball sits with – I mean, you would think he almost gets less minutes because the way that the two guards have been playing with Kobe White and Io. And Alex Caruso really was, like, that defensive spark. He would get you the steals. He would get you the assists when you need – like, he was just that guy – he was like a better version of Javonte Green. What is this guy going to do for us and what time? It's like not necessarily a stat stuffer, but like he does what he needs to do. And like I mentioned a couple times, I think the Bulls are going to have a problem with what they're going to do with minutes with their guard play. They're so heavy on the guard, and I know they don't even really, you know, this day in NBA, you know, you don't need as many forwards and centers. But the Bulls, I don't even think, have a power forward on the roster. They have about six or seven guards that could play. And when they're all healthy, I don't know who's going to get what minutes.
You know, it's a very interesting take, and thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, what a way to kick off the show. That Lonzo Ball.
Can you imagine not having room for Lonzo Ball? I mean, it's a good problem to have. I'm not sure that is – I think they're going to find a way to use him when he comes back. I mean, I think that they need to. But Io, is stepped up, and Kobe White certainly has as well. Mikey in Schererville wants to jump in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey, what are you thinking?
Hey guys, I just got to say whoa to that last caller. Patrick Williams did prove something last year. If you were watching the games, you saw that the guy can play top shelf defense against the best perimeter players and players of length in the NBA. And when you're talking about a guy who, when he played against Durant, Google it. He played two games. Durant averaged 16.5 points, and he played him tough down the stretch. If you get all those guys back, I mean, you got the elite defense in the league. And anybody who's saying that we would not have Lonzo Ball playing his full minutes has got to be out of their mind. All I can tell you is that guy's a fringe all-star. When he's healthy, he does things that don't go in the stat book, and his defense alongside Caruso was amazing. So there'll be time for him, and we get those guys back at full strength. It's going to be not a matter of who gets what minutes. It's going to be about the matchups. Whoever they're playing, if you need a guy for Patrick Williams to guard, you're going to have him in. If you got, you know, you need to change up the pace, you're going to have Caruso in. Those guys, I just think you've got a team built to go all the way. I know that sounds homerish, but look at the squad. They've got guys to play every role.
Okay, Mike, you just made a great case for Lonzo Ball and Patrick Williams. So indulge our fantasy Twitter poll question. If you could only have one back,
just one,
Which one?
Man, I hate to say this because I love all those guys, but I've got to go Lonzo Ball just because, you know, again, elite level defense, sharpshooter, can do more than the other guys. As much as I love Alex Caruso, he's my favorite, and Patrick Williams actually is my second favorite. So, yeah, it kills me, but I'd go Lonzo Ball.
Okay, so your favorite's Caruso, but you're deciding between Williams and Lonzo, and you ended up with Lonzo. Yeah. That's a great call. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
So that is spoiled for riches there. But if you could only have one, what do you do? 312-332-3776. Two calls and at either end of the spectrum, right? Lonzo Ball doesn't really fit in as well as he did
right,
before.
Right.
And I can't wait to hear our great producer, Tyler Aki, who's, I believe, president of the Kobe White fan club, how he lands on this. But we can get back to some calls, and we're here till noon. We have plenty of time to talk Bulls, All-Star Weekend. We're going to get some Bears conversation. MLB going into a pivotal week of talks. The lockout obviously continues very far apart on major issues. I want to talk to you about the issues as fans we really care about, because the money's going to figure itself out. And do you really care if a player gets arbitration? Two years, 3 years, free agency, 6 years, and luxury tax money? Or do you just really care about expanded playoffs and universal DH and all the things that you actually pay attention to on the field? 312-332-3776 is the number. He's Xander. I'm Hanley, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, so glad you're with us on a Sunday morning. Mark Xander, Brian Hanley here until noon, taking your calls, 312-332-3776. I don't know if you made it through the entirety of the NBA All-Star festivities last night. God bless you, and tell us, please give us a call and tell us how you did that. I tried.
Me too.
And Zach LaVine, I mean, he had the lowest score in the three-point contest, and he's still trying to be the first player to win the slam dunk, which was just a mere shell of itself these days compared to what it was when he was doing it and winning it, to win the slam dunk and the three-point contest. But he said he's not going to hang around for like eight more tries at it. If he doesn't do it the next couple of years, he's probably going to hang it up. But he gave it a go last night. But boy, I don't know if it was painful for him to shoot, but it was painful for me to watch him shoot.
Yeah, that was a little awkward. I was concerned about that knee issue. And we know that it's a situation that we have to watch out for, but you could kind of see it was affecting him.
Yeah, it was affecting him. And can you make the NBA All-Star festivities better? I mean, can they did started? I turned it on in the middle of whatever that was, a Q&A with All-Stars, and you know, which of you would have the personality more like Charles Barkley? And I mean, it was, I was like, really? Okay, can we get to the actual basketball
stuff?
See, this
stuff? Is what happens when America puts Cleveland in charge of something.
Oh,
this is what happens. This is what you get.
Oh, I mean, but
Joe Kim was right.
Yeah. You've been to vacation in Cleveland? You ever hear anyone say they want a vacation in Cleveland? God bless. I covered Joe Kim, and I love that guy. I mean, I love just sitting in the hallway. We'd be sitting on countertops along the hallway there, just talking about anything. And he was a joy to watch on the floor, and he was a joy to cover off the floor. But it's the league, really, right? I mean, as much as the NHL tried to come up with some creative things because they're in Las Vegas, shooting pucks at oversized cards to hit, you know, get the players had to try to get 21 right on the strip. The league, I mean, maybe they keep trying, you know,
is it a case trying too hard? It's the case of trying too hard. Is that it?
I don't know. I mean, but the slam dunk contest used to be exciting. I guess
it was. I know.
There's only so much you can do to be creative about it. But and, you know, at least tonight's game, they've gone to the Elam ending, and you know that. So the untimed fourth quarter, and that has reinvigorated the game. So it's not just no defense. You know, 48 minutes up and down, and it's 195 to 188. So, you know, they more people are interested in watching that game now But the festivities themselves, and it's great. I mean, as much as it's Cleveland, Tyler, it does bring money into the city, and Cleveland would be a city that needs as much as Chicago and everyone else. It's not a bad downtown Cleveland. You've been there, Xander? You know,
Yeah.
Well, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of course you've been
sure,
there.
Sure, yeah. No, I like Cleveland. It gets a bad shake, but
I've never vacationed there. I was only there.
No. Yeah. I was there for a reason. I wasn't there. They didn't get my vacation dollars. Although the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is great, and there's a little district downtown with the restaurants and the bars and stuff
and
like that.
It's very walkable, right?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
You can walk.
Yeah, that's
anywhere.
The one thing you don't have to worry about parking in Cleveland. Not like other cities where people actually want to go to in droves all the time.
Oh, see, so there you go. Get another shot in Cleveland.
Look, if we're playing that game, I'm going to get in on it too. You know, it's interesting watching those festivities last night. It just seemed like so much more of a bit of a circus, which, again, I guess the NBA feels like we need that, but I'm not sure if they're trying too hard. And now I'm wondering, and if you want to jump in, 312-332-3776, what's more attractive, the festivities on Saturday night or the actual game on Sunday? I think it used to be the festivities
prior to
the game. Now, is that the case anymore? I'm not sure.
Well, recency bias being last night, I'd have to say no. I'm looking forward to the game, and I was looking for the remote last night because, unlike Fred, I don't have that commitment to watch everything. And when it was so bad, as soon as Zach emptied, got his 14, I said, yeah, I'll try a little bit of the other stuff, but I was not going to be sitting there till the bitter end on that. 312-332-3776. But we've already had a couple callers, talking about the Beloved Bulls and what they need and, how they're going to move forward here, still atop the Eastern Conference. Where's your confidence level? Zach LaVine says that the Bulls brass are going for it because they added Tristan Thompson. And, do you believe that they have enough? We had a caller said there's enough, but Lonzo Ball is absolutely going to be right back running this offense and not splitting minutes. And our first caller said Lonzo Ball's minutes are going to be limited because you've had Io and also Kobe White, lifting and pulling their weight and then some while Lonzo's been out.
Well, I think that's what a good bench player does. I mean, we can't just say Lonzo's lost his job because of that,
You would think not.
Right.
You would think not, but I'd like to hear from Tyler Aki because he's all things Kobe White. Was that crazy talk that Lonzo is not sharing the ball? He's sharing the minutes.
I mean, are we really gonna be looking at benching a guy who you went out to make a big offseason get and has played well for the Bulls as well? I mean, he's shooting a career high 42% from three. He's facilitating the offense. He's giving you amazing defense on the other end too, alongside Alex Caruso. Listen, Io DeSumo has been great.
Right?
Exactly, Io DeSumo has been great. All right.
Yep.
He has overachieved his draft spot so far this season. No doubt about that in my mind. But when I look at what this team does well, what it needs to continue to do, they continue to need to play defense. And that's something that's kind of gotten away from them when they've lost Lonzo, when they've lost Caruso. They need Lonzo Ball. I think he's probably the most important of all the guys that are on the shelf right now to get back, because you're talking about a guy who's going to step in, be a starter, and be a guy that can give you good basketball on each end of the floor. This team is so much better with Lonzo Ball out there, and that's not a dig against Io. I think what makes Io and Kobe fit so well on this team is that they provide depth at a very important position on the floor, at the guard spot.
Yeah, think about that, because a couple of years ago, or even last season, you didn't have a legitimate point guard, right? I mean, and now you're spoiled for choice. I mean, the transition in 1 year on this roster is still remarkable. I mean,
absolutely stunning.
I mean, it's one thing to get rid of Jim Boyle and his coach and have him call timeout somewhere else in wherever he is. He's calling timeout right now, because it's 30 seconds left and he's got to teach and coach the guys up. But to get rid of the coach and getting Billy Donovan, okay, that's an improvement. But this roster overhaul, you can't overstate the idea of getting this together and a team that's, the chemistry, let alone the X's and O's and how much better everybody is and the production on the floor.
Right, and that's why I have high hopes that Tristan's going to work out pretty well. I know he's coming in to back up Vooch, but here's a guy who played in four finals. He won with the Cleveland, so he's got that experience to help these guys in the locker room and outside the locker room, and we'll see what he can bring. But
and he's a different player than Vooch. Yeah. I mean, Vooch has got the size, but he doesn't really play up to his size. You know,
right.
But
he's
looking to score, and he'll get you his 11.7 rebounds a game. But you know, this is a guy who's just to be a space heater and give fouls and throw his body around and make people pay for going to the hoop, right? And Vooch isn't that guy. So
right. And that's a nice different angle that we have. And you know, although we will not probably get Patrick Williams back this year, you know, I think most people are and we'll wrap up the poll at the end of the show. But you know, like Tyler and. You know, another caller, Lonzo is definitely the guy on that Twitter poll that I think we need first, but we're going to get Caruso first. And that's not bad either, because there's a guy who is a defensive spark plug.
Okay. So the first caller voted for Caruso. If you only have one back of the injured players,
right.
He went Caruso and defensive mindset. The second caller said, you're out of your mind. Lonzo Ball is the guy. And then Tyler, you know, second Lonzo Ball, even though he's president of the Kobe White fan club. And the second caller voted for all of them because, you know, why wouldn't you want everybody?
Well, if you could, sure.
But make your case, 312-332-3776. And really, do you believe that the Bulls are going for it? I mean, it's everyone's going for it, unless you're in baseball where, you know, two-thirds of the league are tanking or a third of the league's tanking.
You mean like the Pirates? Yes.
Yeah, like anybody.
Are the Pirates ever going for it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Cubs, were they going for it last year? I mean, so – but everyone says they're going for it or they believe they have enough. Do the Bulls have enough? 312-332-3776 is the number one. I hear from you. And we're here until noon, so we have plenty of time to talk with you about all things Chicago, all things sports. He's Xander. I'm Hanley, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Bulls will be back on the floor this week after the All-Star festivities wrap up with the game tonight in Cleveland. 312-332-3776 is the number. Where's your faith in the Bulls as they move forward, still atop the Eastern Conference? Do they have enough? Zach LaVine says, obviously, they're going for it because they added Tristan Thompson. And we want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Matt's on the line. He's in Streamwood. Morning, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Alexander. Thanks for taking my phone call. I have a couple questions for you. One, how many minutes is DeRozan averaging now since everyone's been gone? Is it like 45 minutes per game? I mean, 44?
It might be 55.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the Thibodeau and the Luol Deng and the Noah, like where they're playing 45 minutes all this time. And then when it comes time to the playoffs, they just have nothing left in the tank. You know, they can't defend because they're just so spent on averaging so many minutes in a game.
You're gonna have to have Pax come down and pull Billy Donovan's tie like he did with Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah, punch him in the face, right?
Well, no, he just pulled the tie. I didn't think there were any punches thrown. who was on the minutes limit when that was Luol or was that Joakim? That they told Vinny not to you know exceed the limits coming off an injury, and he was, and then Pax was down in the coach's office after the game letting him know what he thought about that. Yeah.
I think it was Noah, but I'm not sure on that.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
And two, what happens, Hanley and Xander, when if Zach LaVine, if his knee has a fluid again, is it time to like to possibly shut it down? Because did they drain his knee of fluid? Is it like they have a serious conversation that if the fluid comes right back in 2 weeks from now that
That is a very interesting question, Matt. The fact that they drained the fluid, gave him a cortisone shot, and then did the PRP, usually just giving him one needle would have been, you know, enough. And cortisone, God bless, and thanks for your call, Matt. Cortisone, all it does is really mask the pain. I mean, I've had it in my elbow, both elbows. And it's great for a couple months. And
that's it. I mean, yeah, it's not a long-term solution.
No, when it wears off, you're back to square one normally. And so the fact that there was fluid, he went to L.A. to the specialist, and they drained the fluid, gave him the cortisone, gave him the PRP. Now, maybe the PRP does its thing and gets the healing accelerated, and he's good to go. But that, Matt brings up a good question. That's you get fluid on the knee, it's not a one and done thing. You can have to. Hopefully, we don't get there. But he basically said he's going to have to take care of this in the off season. He's just trying to get through the regular season and the playoffs because he wants to be part of this thing.
Right. By the way, DeRozan looks like he's averaging 35.6 minutes.
Yeah.
Here's another little stat, too, with DeRozan's minutes. Over the last 15 games, he's averaging 38. Is he averaging 38.
No surprise.
He's averaging, a lot of those minutes are coming in the fourth quarter, too.
Oh, yeah.
When
it's money time.
Yeah, when it's A, crunch time, and B, you're at your most fatigued as well.
Yeah. Oh, those are
tough minutes that he's playing as well.
Absolutely. And so far, it doesn't look like it's taken a toll. But, I mean, look at the numbers he's putting up. In the 38.7 points, and he's averaging those 38 minutes. It's remarkable. And here's hoping he doesn't hit a wall. It's not like, the rookie season where they hit a wall because they're not used to playing 82 games. But, boy, they've needed him and then some. And winning games, and that's what he was doing there for a couple of weeks, where, give the ball to DeMar and let's go home and have, put another W in the column. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah, it has been. And having Caruso back is not exactly going to spell DeRozan of his offensive, our need for him on offense, but another body in there to help put these games away. And I think Zach is going to have to, if this is a lasting issue, they're going to have to make that decision if they do shut him down this year, which that's not really going for it, but you have to put all your chips on the table and then see what happens from there. But I think that they're going to have to address it sooner or later, and hopefully it's not as bad as it seems like it is.
Well, again, they're going to manage the minutes, going to manage the back-to-back games and give them the second game off in the four.
And hopefully that's enough, yeah.
Well, I mean, something. But, boy, if Zach does have to shut it down, then the conversation is, where's your faith in this team, making a deep run in the playoffs without Zach LaVine? Now, again, DeRozan's helped keep it together while he's been out. Mm-hmm. But really, when you get into the postseason, can you envision a Bulls team without Zach LaVine? I mean, what would be the better bet or the more sure bet, an early exit or, playing for a conference finals?
Yeah. And when Zach does play, because he does have this issue, what exactly are we going to be able to get out of him?
Yeah.
Is another question, too.
I mean, I hope I wasn't reading too much into the three-point contest, but he was so off last night.
Right.
I don't know if he was just conscious of the knee and not trying to overextend himself, but that didn't look good. I mean, Tyler said, it looked like even when he was just walking up to the first rack, it looked like he was walking a little gingerly, let alone when he started firing up Aaron threes. 312-332-3776. That's an interesting question from Matt. I just assumed, I didn't even consider that this could be an ongoing thing. I mean, I just figured, okay, they know what it is. They're going to try to manage his time and, not put too much stress on the knee. But if you've had a knee drained, maybe you can inform us of how likely it is that you've had to go back and have the procedure done a second time. I've had meniscus cleaned up arthroscopically and good to go after that. Never had an issue with the knee after that, but never had fluid on the knee. So,
I know people who have had the fluid on the knee. That situation is something that does have to get taken care of, multiple times. It's not a one and done, go away, at least to my knowledge.
Yeah.
So if somebody out there has had that and maybe they've been treated for it once and it was all good, encourage us. Call us 312-332-3776. Although I'm not sure that is the case, and we'll have to see what we can get out of him, Zach LaVine, while he's being rested on back-to-back games. Because you're right, we're going to need him for a playoff run. We're going to need all hands on deck, and we already are missing some key pieces.
Well, I've talked to other people who've had knee injuries, and it's been a long time since I've had the surgery to clean up the meniscus in my right knee. But it was the weirdest thing because at the time, it was just certain things that would really make you feel pain. I could run 6 miles a day and not have any issues, not even think about my knee. But going up and down stairs or getting in and out of a car, it was like someone was sticking a knife in my knee. And it was just bizarre that you could
really
go. Yeah. I mean, you could walk and run fine, but going up and down stairs was a killer, and getting in and out of a car was a killer. So I don't know what with fluid, if you know, if you have, if it's feels like pressure or if it's actual pain. The fact they got cortisone tells you they're trying to get inflammation down. And again, the PRP, if you've had that, maybe you can help us out of how effective that is, because you know, a couple of years ago it was rather new, a rather new procedure, to the point where insurance companies weren't even willing to cover it because they thought it was experimental. I don't know if that's changed much, but the idea is that the platelets, the plasma rich platelets, it goes into the joint and brings the blood flow and gets the accelerates the healing to the joint. If you've had that, maybe you can enlighten us on how effective it was for you or not. And if it was effective, how long it took or did it take? I mean, was it a one and done procedure, or did you have to go back and have it done a second time?
And is that what your dog had?
The PRP? But she couldn't tell me how effective it was.
No, I know. I was going to say, I'm sure I get that answer out of her.
She had to go back every couple months for it. On both shoulders, and you know, there was a healthy check to be written each time too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Back then,
and I just love that you need it, but you're second guessing that. But
you're a dog owner. Any dog owner, anything for their dog to make sure that they're living their best life. But when it comes to us, it's like, I could live with the pain. I'll just pop a few more Tylenol, and you know, off you go. Even though, you know, you don't sleep well at night. But if it's for your dog, it's not even consideration.
Now, if your dog could talk, Brian, well, probably be like, hey, idiot, get it.
If my dog could talk, I wouldn't be doing this for a living.
Well, that's true. We'd be going around in a covered wagon, like a medicine man. You'd be a carny.
Well, I think I've been that a few times in my life. I'd be like the woman on the unicycle with the plates. And there's like five NBA halftime acts that I covered the NBA for 5 years, six seasons, whatever it was. And it was the same five halftime acts. It was the guy who did the Jackson 5, where he had he was in the middle and the two puppets on full, you know, adult size puppets on a stick. I always wondered how he got that on an airplane. And then the woman on the unicycle flipping bowls up on top of her head. And then there was Quick Change, was, I believe, a husband and wife, and they, you know, put up a curtain. She changes her clothes, he changes his clothes. I never really understood that. And then Blue Man Group showed up on a special occasion. And there were just like four or five of these halftime acts, and they just rotate.
Maybe we go back to that. Maybe we don't need DJ Khalid.
I'll tell you, the woman on the unicycle, unless it's her daughter or granddaughter, she's been doing that for like 30 years.
Yeah, Red Panda.
Yeah.
So she, a couple years ago, had her unicycle stolen. Then for a couple years, she had the yips. Like, she was nuts. She lost her fastball for a little bit.
Because she didn't have
Yeah. And then I think the Warriors replaced her unicycle, if I'm remembering correctly. And now she's got her fastball back. Like, she is back to being as good as she was in the mid-2010s.
You mentioned that because I did see her, you know, I don't know, a year or two ago, and she was dropping a lot of the balls. They weren't landing where they're supposed to.
She had the yips for a little bit, and then she's got her touch back now, though.
What did the Warriors do? Like, put together an exact replica of the one that was stolen?
I'm looking right now. So it was stolen at baggage claim at the San Francisco airport, and then, then the Warriors replaced it. After it was stolen, so I don't know what they did.
I mean, but she when she had the yips, she was still on a unicycle.
She was still on the unicycle, and it must have been a replacement unicycle that she was working with for a little bit. But maybe she's just like, I don't know. You're a horse person, Hanley. Like,
yes.
If you're on a new horse, if you've got a new horse, like, is it a little bit different? Is there like a warming up period to it? Like, how does that work?
Well, usually, I mean, if you're talking about a jockey, some jockeys get along with certain horses better than others. Mm-hmm. And so once you find that jockey who gets along with the horse, you have success, you want to keep going back to the same jockey. But some great jockeys get on top of your horse, and for whatever reason, horse and jockey don't get together. So I assume that's, you know, Red Panda and unicycle. Who steals? When you're a baggage claim, I mean, you just grab any bag you can, and before someone tries to.
I didn't know unicycles were such a hot property.
I know. I mean, did they know what they were stealing? I mean, I don't know what a unicycle looks like when it's packed up, but, you know, I did, you know, baseball players will bet on anything. And so what they would do is on the charter flights, they would look outside. The smart ones would look and watch which bags were going in, being loaded onto the plane at first and last. And then they would get a rookie who wasn't so smart, and they would bet him like $100 or $200 on which bag was coming out first, theirs or the other guys. And the veterans had already looked out the window to see which bag was loaded first and which was coming, or the last one loaded was coming out first, right? And so they would relieve rookies of their money. Like, it was stupid, but every time I was on a charter flight, we'd be at an airport and some guy was peeling off C notes to a veteran because he fell for the trap.
So that's it. Somebody spotted that unicycle and said, you know what? That's on my bucket list. I need one of those.
Well, I'm glad you got a fastball back because, you know, you're down to four halftime acts if Red Panda is not available. 312-332-3776. I'll get back to our Bulls talk. We got some Bears talk as well because we're only a couple of weeks away from a few weeks away from free agency. Never too soon to see what the new Bears regime is going to be trying to do because they've got a lot of things to do on their to-do list. So
yes,
Sandra and I will be talking about it with you, 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000.
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join Coach Collins and the Cats at Welsh Ryan Arena on Tuesday, February 22nd for a special 2 days promotion. All tickets are $22. Buy now at nusports.com.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
We're back. Mark Zander, Brian Hanley, taking your calls. We're here until noon, so we have lots of time to talk sports with you. 312-332-3776. And Mark, I did it again. Every 2 years, really. Although maybe every 4 years for sure. I made it through the Winter Olympics without watching 1 minute of said Olympics.
Congratulations. I almost did, but I fell into some bobsled. I hate
when that happens.
I saw Canada and play the U.S. hockey. I saw some ski jump competition. I don't know his name, but it was an older bearded guy who won a gold medal finally in his last time. It was a big story in the Olympics. It made such an impact.
In what event was old bearded guy in?
It wasn't ski slalom. No, it was skiing. It wasn't slalom. It was another event. But again, didn't make that big an impact, but I did watch. So congratulations, I think.
Well, if you see a bunch of guys on the Ukraine border with hockey sticks, I'm not saying, but Finland beat Russia 2-1. So,
right.
Yeah. So I'm not saying
dropping them off at the border saying go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You go now.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're Finland, you might want to rethink beating Russia in the finals. But yeah, I didn't watch any of it. I guess occasionally I come across some of the summer Olympic sports. But I'm
more of a winter Olympic guy. If I watch any Olympics, it's more of a winter. But I couldn't get into it this year.
I can't. The whole thing back in the day when basically we were fighting a cold war with Russia, and instead of actually having a war, you tried to show your superiority through athletic games. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a big deal, right? It was all about your country being better than the hated Eastern Germans and the Russians and Soviet Union back in the day. But and those stories were always heartwarming, right? The mom and dad working three jobs to get Sonny or you know, their daughter into the Olympics and drive into the ice skating rink or the hockey rink at 3 a.m. to make sure that the kids got their practice in so they could be an Olympian. All those stories were wonderful, and people actually, you know, putting in huge sacrifices. Now they all live in Boulder, Colorado, and they all have sponsors, and they're all, I mean,
right.
they're all millionaires.
It's a way different time. You're right, right. And yeah. So I guess you're not concerned that Shaun White is wrapping it up after this Olympics?
No, he's okay. Been a millionaire for a long time. That's my point. I mean,
yeah, right,
they all
right.
have nutritionists and agents and TV possibilities, and they live 20
years. They're not normal people anymore. They used to be normal. The Olympians used to be just normal people with a great story. Now,
absolutely. They go back to their job at the post office or the grocery store or whatever. And now they're
Home Depot. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they have their, they're just, they're superior at what they do, but they ought to be because they make millions and millions of dollars. It's not
and that's all they
sports.
Do. They're not working. They're not working. Hey, we can talk about that in sports. I mean, Stan Mikita was an insurance salesman, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Ron Sandlin.
You know, back
did all
in the
that.
Day, yeah.
That,
yeah.
Baseball guys too, they didn't make enough money. They would have to have a job in the off season. I mean, it was remarkable. I mean, Doug Buffon used to tell me that he would if someone offered him $100 to show up at 7-Eleven and sign autographs for a couple hours, they would kill themselves to do it because they needed the dough.
Yeah.
Back in the late 60s, early 70s, baseball players all had second jobs, you know, car dealers or selling real estate or insurance or whatever it was. But the Olympic ideal of amateurism and all that.
Sure. And that's another level of right. So for them to be pros and have all of these endorsement deals, it's
and then the corruption
it's taking it up.
Then
yeah.
when the Olympic Committee, you know, when you see we're rigging, you know, how much you're going to pay me to make sure your city gets the Olympics, and then of course all the when the Olympics packs up and leaves after a few weeks, the city's sitting there with all these venues that are empty and. Taxpayers pay. I mean, the greatest thing that ever happened in Chicago was we didn't get the Olympics. I know everyone was crying over that. I was celebrating.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. You're right. At that moment, I was like, you know, that would have been cool. But knowing everything that is involved, you're right.
Knowing the corruption in this city, and then you're going to give them that
right,
opportunity.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, we weren't going to pay a dollar for any of it, right? That's what Mayor Daley said. It was all taken care of. There would be no debt. I think we're still paying off the Michael Reese Hospital land that never, you know, that was going to be Olympic Village, right?
Right.
And, you know, so that was a load of you know what, because we bought that land and we're still paying for it. The best thing ever happened was the Olympics didn't show up here. So 312, just my little Olympic rant. I didn't watch any of it, but I spent 10 minutes talking about it. 312-332-3776. If you're an Olympic person and you want to, you know, if you're just wowed by the whole thing, you know, tell me what I missed because I just saw the headline.
Right. And tell Brian how he should do it in 4 years. He should watch the Winter Olympics.
Where's it going to be 4 years from now? Do we know? I mean, I'm sure they know. I don't know. But I would know if I cared.
No. Right. I don't think if you cared, you'd even know. I don't think that they've announced that yet.
Yeah.
But maybe I missed it.
When we come back, though, because people do care and I care, we should talk about possibilities for the Bears in free agency, right? And
they get to work, yeah.
Well, I mean, can the Bears, the new regime, Wallace like the Bulls regime did in very short order and can you know, pull
well,
a few
possible.
Huge moves out of their you-know-what and start to, again, we'll have to wait and see what Aaron Rodgers is doing up in Green Bay, if he's going to be there or not. Is the division in play? Is he gone? And if so, what can the Bears do in the immediate to improve their chances of winning a division and actually looking like a playoff team? 312-332-3776. We'll get back and take your calls and on all things sports. Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000.